I think I know how to set the scene for the remainder of the hour. Peppermint Twist, Johnny D. and the Starlight. I know how over the years I've delighted you with my impersonations of people like, well, to name a few, Sir Isaac Newton and Galileo, Charlie Chaplin, Mother Teresa, Wolfgang Puck, I do them super, Julie Andrews, Tommy Lasorda, but I have reserved, until this moment, the finest impersonation that I do, and that anyone can do, the renowned DJ of the decades, king of the American pop radio, Wolfman Jack. Here goes.
All right, baby, we gonna get down here today. I say we gonna boogaloo like you ain't never boogalooed before.
I wonder if he would appreciate it if he heard me actually doing that. Wolfman Jack with 250,000 watts of power?
Yeah, that was back to the old days, man. Oh, it's good to be here with you. I tell you, be the master of talk radio. Here he is. I'm sitting in front of him.
You're generous. You're generous.
Yeah, I've been around so long, man. I tell you, I can't believe I remember, you know, 29 years now.
At this station, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your given name? I mean, Mom and Dad didn't look at this little bundle didn't have a beard when you were born, but they didn't look at you and say, we name this baby Wolfman.
Well, I was the original guy named Sue, you know.
You were Sue?
No, they named me Bobby Smith. I mean, it's kind of corny, man, so I never did like the name. So what I did when I was a kid, I used to listen to all kind of disc jockeys. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, you know.
Yeah.
So I grew up listening to great cats like Jocko Henderson who would blast off to the moon and say, Mommy, oh, Daddy, oh, this Jocko, we gonna take you to the moon, we gonna spoon, we gonna get down, have a great afternoon, all this kind of stuff. All this rhyming. I listened to the Hound from Buffalo, New York. I'm KBW, that big, powerful station there. And, you know, Alan Freed originally came on playing rhythm and blues, and he called himself Moondog. And he came, oh, you little moondoggies out there, we're going to get down and
see,
party.
I was more sophisticated. I was an Al Jazbo Collins.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know him, too. Al's still doing it in San Francisco.
Still?
I talked to him 4 months ago, and he's still doing fine. He wanted some records that I had that I remember Symphony Sid used to play in New York.
Yes.
You remember Symphony Sid?
Of course I remember Symphony Sid.
And I had some old of those Boogaloo records, you know, he calls them. And he does a Saturday thing or something for one of the local San Francisco stations.
You know, you really almost single-handedly, way back when, I think, introduced to white America the funny, the sexy, the crazy, the wild music of African-Americans.
Well, that's great rhythm and blues, what you're talking about. That's very... very intelligent the way you spoke of it that way, but it's really down home rhythm and blues, baby.
Yeah.
Good old blues.
Yeah, good old
gritty blues, down in the alleys kind of music.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to meet you in an alley. I think you could hold your own, all right? You haven't changed one jot. Oh, well, yeah, looking at the cover here with the bandana around your head and the mouth. My gosh, you could have filled the entire book cover with that mouth.
That's right.
Have Mercy is the title of the book, Confessions of the Original Rock and Roll Animal, Wolfman Jack. They loved you and they hated you. I mean, you got in some trouble with the Mexican officials when you were working down there, didn't they?
Well, no. They never hated me. They just wanted
to love you to death.
They wanted to love me to death. They wanted the money I was making. And that's the only problem I had. I did too good. And when I was on XCRF down there in around Del Rio, Texas, what happened was, and it's all in the book, and it's a long story.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to love reading this book.
But I've read it.
Huh?
How do you think? I can't do interviews without.
Well, we moved in and we took over this big border blaster just because I happened to walk in and
a
I got
border
lucky
blaster.
The timing was right. The everything was perfect. Was able to hustle these preachers out of all this money.
Hustle the preachers out of money.
Yes.
Okay, I'm learning the lingo.
Yes.
We call them sponsors.
Anyway, there I was, and I had this big thing in my hands. You know, this
I
big
can
radio
see
station.
It now.
That's right. Anyway, I got on the air one night, and that Wolfman Jack was born.
Really?
And,
what year was that?
That's 62. 1962. It was late January 1962.
Any favorite songs from that era?
Oh, Lord. Now, I don't remember. Let me think.
That's okay.
Well, you know, Little Richard had a lot of great things. Long, Tall Sally, you know, and Tutti Frutti. And, yeah. And then, of course, there was Fats Domino singing Blueberry Hill and Blue Monday and all that stuff.
On Blueberry Hill. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, if you hadn't become Wolfman Jack, what might you have been or become?
Oh, I started out as a lot of different people, different characters. Actually, I tried to do a Michael Jackson, you know. I tried to do that dialect. And
very good. I have great difficulty with it myself. But you really came out of the Blackboard Jungle. Now, there's an expression that takes us back.
That's true. Absolutely true. And I originally, you know, I grew up listening to great jocks, like I told you, like Jocko Henderson, you know, you know, Moondog and those folks, and Dr. Jive from Harlem, you know. And I loved rhythm and blues. I wanted to give those folks great, you know, the kind of happiness they gave to me.
Our guest is Bob Smith, former juvenile delinquent.
Yes.
Man from a broken home. A man who spun more records than anyone in the whole wide world.
Oh, I'm the type of guy who will never settle down. Where pretty girls are, well, you know that I'm around. I kiss them and I love them, cause for me they're all the same. I hug them and I squeeze them, they don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer.
Underwater on KABC, 790 AM.
Oh, Wolfman!
Duke, yeah, great record.
Who was this?
Gene Chandler.
Right.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I saw him about 3 weeks ago. We have this ongoing show that we do called Wolfman Jack's Fabulous 50s and 60s, and we go out in different parts of the United States, and perform at theme parks and different stadiums and stuff like that. And we always do real well with the show. Always have about five great acts on it, you know, in a big band. And Wolfman comes out and greets everybody. We do a few songs and we bring on these acts. It's always a lot of fun.
He's the author of Have Mercy. It's the confessions of the original rock and roll animal.
I love when you say author. It makes me feel so intelligent.
The guy writ it. Wolfman Jack. Were you ever insane?
Insane? I don't know, man. I think we're all a little insane, you know?
No, I mean, quite seriously, almost. Was it cocaine-induced at one stage?
Oh yeah. I did a lot of that back in the early, when it was fashionable, of course.
Back in the days when psychopharmacologists were telling me from prominent universities that coke was not addicting.
That's right, it wasn't. It was not addicting back in those days. What it is, what they do today is addicting. Because they've added, I don't know, they should really come out with the real facts. They've added new chemicals to it or something to make it be more of an addicting drug. Cocaine was never addicting back when it was fashionable. Now, that was back when, we were innocent, it was young, and, it was started around 1965, I think, is when they first introduced it to us. And it went through about 1985.
When you say they first introduced it to us, were they record promoters that were doing that?
No, it like all of a sudden just came. You know, it used to be around the old days.
Like
too.
Snow.
No, it just came around. I don't know where it came from, but I remember the old days used to put it in Coca-Cola, you know.
Well, do you remember the old Fred Astaire, I get no kick from shit?
That's right.
And cocaine.
But it was legal back then. You could go to the druggist and you could get yourself like a gram of cocaine.
I'm too young to remember that.
I'm just saying, my father used to do it back in the old days in the 40s.
What were your parents like?
Well, they were crazy folks, you know. That's all in the book, man.
I know. I ask these questions because I know the author knows the answer.
I had a very troubled childhood. They were party folks. And
you weren't?
Well, I was just a little kid, you know. I was only 4 years old. I didn't know what was going on. But they managed to screw up my life real good. But that's okay. I forgave them for it, and they both passed on, and they are both wonderful people. And they both had a hard time, I guess, getting into the world, getting out of it.
Yeah. You parted with everybody, didn't you? From Presley to John Lennon to James Brown, you'd known them all.
And I'm very honored to be with a lot of those people. I mean, it was very fortunate I got to meet so many great people, because I guess the Midnight Special had a lot to do with it, too, because we did 9 years of that, and we did 587 hour-and-a-half live TV rock and roll shows on NBC. And again, that was back in the days when everything was fashionable.
Hey, that was back in the days when if you bought an AM station, they gave you the FM station as a bonus?
That's right. You're right, man.
But that's true.
That's absolutely true.
Now with most FM stations, I'll give you the AM as a bonus.
That's right. Now the AMs are having a tough time. Well, the AMs got, they were too big for their britches, you know. When FM came in with the stereo and everything, AM said, well, they ain't gonna do nothing to us, you know. And then bingo, the stereo is what went over. And then, you know, AM could have gone stereo very easily, but they never did it.
Do you want to know how big you were at your biggest in my mind? I can remember when you got billing over Alice Cooper at the Bowl, at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, that's true. I remember seeing a billboard that said Wolfman Jack, and underneath it said Alice Cooper.
Well, I don't... Thank you very much, man, but I don't remember that.
That's true.
I know I had a big sign on Sunset Boulevard one time. I was on K-Day Radio, and Art Astor put up a great big billboard, man. And it was right as you go into Beverly Hills there, you know? And it had me with big hairy hands and a big cape on, and it said Wolfman Jack on Katie. I was very proud of that.
They've shaved most of it off now.
Yes. Yeah.
Our guest, Wolfman Jack, who, by the way, before we continue, is at a book signing this very night at that enormous... Have you been to Borders?
No.
You're in for a treat. Borders Books at 1360 Westwood Boulevard, Westwood. That's 1360 Westwood Boulevard, Westwood. He'll be signing and howling. He's Wolfman, Wolfman Jack, at 7 this evening. How will they recognize you? Oh, it's the hairy hands here. This is 790 KABC Talk Radio. We'll continue in just a moment with our guest.
All right.
Wolfman Jack.
All right, baby.
Ah, we know this one.
All right.
Come on, do you know what it is?
That's a sugar shot, Jimmy Gilbert. Come on, baby. Yeah. And everybody calls it the sugar shot. Well, it's just a coffee house and it's made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why I gotta get back. Get to that sugar shack. Everybody gonna sugar
this
shack.
Scared our parents out of their pants.
Oh,
and
that.
It sounds so nice and simple.
Oh, it wasn't this. It was that good old rhythm and blues that scared her to death. See, they were so...
Well, because they were frightened of black.
Oh, right. They were scared that, they loved those great black, especially Clyde McFadden, the Drifters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Here you got Clyde McFadden, a real good-looking dude. They're afraid all their daughters going to want to go out with him.
Yeah.
It was so stupid, I couldn't believe it. I mean, back in those days, I grew up in New York listening to the great rhythm and blues stations, and... even to this day, New York is a great R&B town. I mean, if you get on, I remember being number one in that town on the radio at night, man. They wouldn't let me buy anything. I'd go into a bar at night, and I'd be a big, big spender, you know. I'd buy everybody drinks.
You've won a few and lost a few fortunes, haven't you?
Oh, definitely. Oh, I've been up and down so much, man. It's amazing.
Yo-Yo Jack.
It's amazing I'm still here. I mean, I thank the good Lord every day for keeping me around, but I love the folks out there. Michael, and just like you do, man, I want them to be happy. I know that we're here to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And if folks would think more about that, if they would think about having fun with another, you got to go out and do something for somebody you don't even know. You got to do something nice, you know? You got to go bring a little joy into people's lives, and you'll be amazing how good it makes you feel inside.
You've been with the music of the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. When to your taste was the period of the most exciting music and the most exciting period in the recording industry?
I would say from 1960... Oh, gee, that's hard to do there. See, I love the music from 57 to 67. I love the music from 67 to 77. I love the music from 77 to 87. Now, after that is when MTV came in. And then what happened then was the music video became more important than the sound. See,
mm-hmm.
The video was the thing then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if the group was a real sexual-looking group, you had a lot of sex appeal, they would really do very well. And it didn't make no difference how good the music was, but if the video was done really right, it's like your counterpart, Mr. Michael Jackson, you know, just come out with a new album.
Yes.
And he spent $7 million on his video.
Video.
I know. Now, who can compete with a $7 million video, man? I mean, it's almost impossible.
Well, now, you lived through all the days of the payola scandals. Did they ever get you?
No, they never got to me. See, I lived that life of mystique. I mean, they could even call me on the telephone. They could write me letters, but and believe me, they sent me a lot of checks, which I tore up and sent back to
them. Did they really?
Oh, yeah, they tried to get to me.
Wasn't the temptation there to, I mean, did...
I didn't need it, man. I was doing really well. I'm like you, you know, just like we've been talking.
Yeah.
I can see you're the same way. I didn't need their money. I didn't want no crooked money. In other words, I couldn't sleep at night, and I took money to play a record. No, the record got played because the public wanted to hear it. That's the way I operated my situation. I would always give everybody a chance to be on the air. If the public liked it, they stayed. If they didn't like it, they immediately disappeared. You know what I mean?
And all you really wanted to be was a film star.
That's right. That's right. How'd you know that?
Because I read the book. Now, I've warned you about me.
Yes. Yes.
Who did you fancy yourself being? I mean, if you fantasize.
Oh, I wanted to do roles like, I wanted to play Quasimodo, you know. I wanted to do these real rough roles, you know. I wanted to play these bad dudes and everything. But
well, as a kid, you were a bad dude.
Well, not really. I was always, anything I got done, usually somebody else did it for me. So that way I was cool.
What does that mean?
Huh?
You were the Don?
Well, it just meant that I was very nice to folks, and they want to do me a favor, but I appreciate it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what we should do. I mentioned the fact that you've met and worked with many of the recording industry's giants. Let me throw some names your way, just for a sort of a thumbnail or knee-jerk reaction, okay? You brought up Michael Jackson. Okay, let's start there.
I remember him as a little guy.
Yeah.
And I remember he sat right here on the old Wolfman's knee. The Jackson 5 was hot boy back in those days.
Is that where he learned to put little boys on his knee?
Bo
Diddley.
That's terrible, man. Bo Diddley, man, every time I go to a gig with him, he's always cooking up some great ribs and stuff, you know, and he's got his own little cook stove there, and we always have some great, great country cooking for Bo Diddley.
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry is probably one of the nicest people I've ever met. He's always been nice to me. I mean, everybody's got a Chuck Berry story. He comes in, and he's a loner. You can't give him a limousine ride. You can't even figure out what airline he's coming in on. When you book him for a show,
yes,
he definitely shows up, but you don't know when he's going to be there or how he's getting there. And he always comes in about 10 minutes before showtime.
But he makes it.
He always makes it. Never misses a show. He always told me, he says, one thing you don't do, you do never miss a gig. You never be late for a gig. I remember one night I had him on the Midnight Special. He walked in like usual, you know, about 5 minutes before airtime. I don't know how he figures these things out. I guess he makes phone calls and figures out when he's supposed to be there. But he came in with sick as a dog, about 103-degree temperature. And he came in, he was sweating. And I know him as for a fact, he never did a drug in his life. He came in, he had some kind of flu or something. And he came in, he laid down in the dressing room. And he told me, he said, Wolf, I can't make it. I just don't think I can make it. I said, Chuck, you've always told me, man, you've got to make every gig you do. You've got to get up. These people out there waiting for you. There's 500 folks out there in the studio, everybody on TV looking for you. So I helped him up. I said, give me my guitar. I put the guitar in his hand. And he went out there like a trooper with 103-degree temperature and just blew everybody away.
Our guest is always cool, always hot. It's been a wonderful meeting with you. Don't forget, this evening you've got to be at Borders.
Thank you so much.
At 7 o'clock this evening, Borders Books, 1360 Westwood Boulevard, Westwood.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, man.
You distinguished author. How does that sound?
I know. That sounds... Makes me feel so intelligent, like I don't.
Have mercy. It's called Confessions of the Original Rock and Roll Animal, Wolfman Jack. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.